We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It is baseball season, and we have two start pitchers to grade here on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We are brought to you by Vivid Seats. Clay Link here with Todd Zola today. And as is tradition, Todd, with the season starting up, we will grade two start pitchers for next week on the show. We'll also touch on a little bit of news. How was your opening day, Todd? How are you doing?
Doing well. Now, I was a little busy the past couple hours, so I didn't get to do my pre-show run of the algorithmic rankings, if you will. So we'll both be working blind for the first ranking, but no, general things are doing well. Enjoyed some baseball yesterday. Got to figure out something to do till 6:30 tonight before the next game is on, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, after the full slate yesterday, only five games tonight, and they're not starting until what, 6:40 Eastern. So
yeah,
For me, I kind of appreciate this because I need a little time to catch my breath and come up for air. But, you know, I'm hoping for a lot of day baseball in the days and weeks to come.
I think we're going to get it. It's the way the schedule's been the past couple of years.
Absolutely. Well, we'll look forward to that. And big news yesterday, right before game started, Justin Verlander to the 15-day IL. They're calling it a low-grade strain of the teres major, but this is tough. 40 years old, and I heard him talking a little bit about it. He thought he was just working through something in the spring. He said that's normal for him, but it wasn't better in his final spring tune-up, and they just had to try to get out in front of this. And I've heard the notion on Twitter, a suggestion that maybe because he's on the Mets, they play it extra cautious, just with the big picture in mind, and maybe they you really slow play Verlander. What's your level of concern with Justin Verlander?
I don't know. I mean, I just have to read the report. So I don't know about the whole slow playing thing.
That's just pure speculation.
Right. I mean, I understand that. To me, you got the Phillies in the division. You got the Braves in the division. I don't think you can mess around. Right. I don't think you can take it for granted. So I think they're going to, when he's ready, he's coming back. And not to mention, when he's ready, he's just going to, you know, if Tyler McGill's about to start and Verlander's ready, he's just going to go out there and kick him off the mound, you know? I mean, he's not
sure.
He's not going to. Verlander starts when Verlander says he's going to start.
Yeah, Verlander probably isn't down with the slow play, so
I wonder if he has the same control at home.
Probably be pushing to get back in the rotation as soon as possible. And you mentioned McGill. He's going to be stepping in right away tomorrow. So it'll be David Peterson tonight and Tyler McGill tomorrow against the Miami Marlins in Miami. Todd, what do you think? In first come, first serve leagues, where you can make a move and stream him right away, would you stream Tyler McGill Saturday? Is that just too risky right now?
You got a game on Saturday. He's got the Marlins on at home next week. I think it's, you know what? I'm aggressive. There are some times I'm not going to be taking the chance, but yeah, if I'm looking to get off to a good start, Yes, and that may have to do with planning my pitching staffs around streaming. Yeah. And if I'm not going to take this opportunity, you know, where is my filter? Where is my cutoff? So, yeah, I probably – and now the thing with McGill, too, is he was competing with David Peterson for the last spot in the rotation. So he stretched out, you know, and it wasn't as if – I mean, he pitched pretty well. It's just Peterson pitched better. So I think that, you know, all signs point towards a better pathway for success than a lot of pitchers at this time of the season.
I'm a little wary of McGill, just given that his control was shaky, especially at the end of spring training. Yeah. He had five walks in both of his final two Grapefruit League appearances. So I'm a little skeptical, but I am going to be starting him for this first start in the FSJ Champions League with relegation. So I'm hoping he doesn't light my ratios on fire early. But I actually tried to drop McGill last week, but all my contingent bids were outbid. So I kind of got lucky in not dropping McGill last week.
Well, we'll see.
I was intent on it.
We shall see. Yeah.
Max Fried left his start yesterday with a strained hamstring. He's definitely going to miss at least one start. Who's your guess to step into that Atlanta rotation?
Well, isn't Ian Anderson already locked into the first start?
Yeah, he's confirmed in our grid, so that must have been confirmed somewhere.
So, yeah, so that would be the first. And then I don't know if it's a wait and see or what goes on after that, off days, et cetera. But, I mean, Anderson, it's just the walk. And I don't remember if I read it or if I just kind of in my own mind thought that he'd be better. You know, maybe this is the time to make him a reliever and try to, you know, focus on the stuff and just get the two pitches working and et cetera. But, you know, he's still got too good of an arm, I think, to do that with. And Dylan Dodd and Jared Schuster. Over under the amount of times they say Ted Schuster, what are we setting that? 2.5? I know at least one of them will be talked about in a moment. Schuster only has one start next week. But Anderson, playoff hero, cheap minor leaguer on my NL high stakes team to this guy that can't throw a strike. I don't know.
Yeah, he burst onto the scene, and you know, even though there were concerns about his command and control coming up, Ian Anderson kind of overcame those early, but they eventually, those command and control issues eventually caught up to him. And yeah, we haven't really seen him at all, but I think with Dylan Dodd and Jared Schuster in that rotation already, they're going to need Anderson. And yeah, let me just double check. I think you said it, but at St. Louis next week.
I think we may be hearing that we talked about him on the radio a minute ago. I didn't say that yet, but yeah, we talked about that on the radio.
Yeah.
Okay. It all runs together.
Yeah, this is our third hour together already today. Thanks for bearing with me. Also, news from yesterday out of Dodgers. I guess you can't say Dodgers camp, but from the Dodgers, Ryan Pepio, last minute IL move. So Michael Grove steps in, and Michael Grove will be a guy we grade here in a few minutes as part of the two-start pitchers for next week, because with Grove entering for Pepio, it's versus Colorado at Arizona. That is pretty nice there.
Yep.
You've mentioned that at Arizona, maybe not the cakewalk it used to be, but I think Michael Grove will be a pretty popular ad in Fab this weekend.
Oh, no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll get the grades in a moment, but he's definitely going to be someone to pick up.
And Wilson Contreras left yesterday, and the initial diagnosis was a contusion. They did send him for an MRI. Thankfully, that MRI negative for Wilson Contreras. So that would have been tough to lose a primetime catcher on day one. That would have been tough. And Daniel Bard to the IL with anxiety. All our best to Daniel Bard, and, you know, he has my sympathy for sure. Anybody to speculate on there in Colorado, or is that hands off? I think I'm going to be hands off personally.
I'm hands off with Bart, and he was really, really good last year. So
that's a good point.
Kind of where I am as far as that goes. But yeah, no, like you said, I mean, you know, take care of yourself. It's Bart was out of the league for a while, and you know, kind of a great story that he was able to come back. Mm-hmm. I remember watching Daniel Bard pitch in the Cape League All-Star game. with Jonathan Mayo by my side.
Oh, wow, really?
That's how long, yeah. So it just, I think the gun wasn't working because everybody was throwing 99 that day.
We have a really interesting question in the chat. Better stash Brandon Pfaadt or Gavin Stone of the Dodgers? That's tough. I actually did not cut a Pfaadt last week. You made that pun on XM and cracked me up. I ended up not cutting a Pfaadt. I held a Pfaadt.
You never want to do that, especially on air. You know, they say on an airplane. Yeah, anyway.
I didn't cut him loose, but I thought about it. I actually though may lean Gavin Stone just because, you know, the Pepio injury. They're already kind of down, and I'm skeptical about Syndergaard this year too.
So yeah, this is not my forte.
Yeah,
so that's a tough call. I'm going to go with whatever Clay says.
Todd's answer may be neither.
I would probably shoot James an email is what I would do. So here's James' email address. Nah, maybe not.
One thing in working in Pfaadt's favor, I would imagine, is the fact that they sent Dre Jameson to the bullpen instead of keeping him stretched. So that could be just one less arm he needs to leapfrog to get opportunities.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Todd, on a scale of 1 to 10, I said this on XM too, but I'm about a 6 on the worry meter on Alek Manoah. Career worst 9 hits allowed yesterday. And that was just barely over 3 innings. So just entirely too hittable. Velo was down in the spring. Thought it was maybe something where he was just, you know, working through it and building up his velocity. But the fact that he struggled to this extent on opening day has me concerned about Alek Manoah.
I'm a small sample, big picture guy. I'm not all that concerned. Let's see. I've been higher on Manoah than most anyway. So maybe that has to do with that confirmation bias, whatever you want to call it. But I'm not going to let one start influence me too much at this point.
And I saw Isak Paredes was batting third yesterday. I thought that was notable. And Trevor Larnach batting cleanup for the Twins. Surprised me because he was not even a lock to make the team. He was very much on the bubble. So at least coming into camp, had a hot spring and goes from on the bubble to the opening day cleanup, man. Pretty nice spot for Larnach. Do you think he can hold that spot down for Minnesota?
I know, you know, we then went over the lineups and understood why he was hitting higher up. Maybe Jose Miranda should have been above, but maybe he's a left-right thing. I don't know. You know, you pointed out that Larnach was kind of, you know, a big, not a big, but a prospect of note at the same time Kirilloff was, and they both, neither of them materialized. Kirilloff more reported of injuries, and Larnach just because he never gotten it done. Had a hot spring. I can see where, at least why he was inserted, had a really good opening day. I think the spot's there for the taking, kind of in the middle, whether he actually comes through or not. They could use the pop. Minnesota's got some nice hitters, but they could use a little bit more pop, and that's why Larnach was high up in the order. I don't know. I know outfield is shallow or shallower than it's been, but I think there's still players I like in that range that I'm not ready to jump on Larnach just yet.
I've got some pretty ugly offensive spots going in my main event right now. So,
yeah, well.
At UT, I may look to okay. I think he might have been drafted, actually. But in leagues where he's available, I might scoop Trevor Larnach because, look, there wasn't a ton of offense yesterday. And Larnach's at least in a spot where you can look at that and dream on some production.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing in the 12-team leagues that I'm not especially good at is, you know, making the move. And if I always complain, well, someone picked up Larnach and there was no reason to pick him up and he had a great year and he beat me. Well, the reason to pick him up is you've already alluded to it. He's playing. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I don't need to look at Statcast. I don't need to look at the underlying metrics as much as I need to look at the lineup. And we just talked about it. There's just no one in Minnesota to provide pop other than the first few hitters. And so you need someone to hit cleanup. Maybe that's all that's needed. Maybe you don't need to have a high exit velocity and sprint speed and all that stuff. Maybe the fact that they felt strong enough about Trevor Larnach to hit cleanup on opening day that's enough for me to pick him up.
Yeah, he's at least a guy to think about this weekend if you need a bat, because yeah, that is a very fruitful, or at least projects to be a fruitful spot in that order, between Buxton and Miranda.
Yep.
Well, real quick, before we get into two-star pitchers, let's pause briefly to bring you a quick word from our Blue Wire sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right, we are back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Clay Link and Todd Zola, and as we have done every Friday on the pod during the season over the past, what, 3 or 4 years, maybe longer? I think you've been doing it longer because you started doing this with DVR, right? But yeah, two-star pitcher grades. We'll grade 0 to 5 scale for every two-star pitcher for next week. And, of course, 0 means he's a 0. We're not starting him anywhere. 5 meaning we're turning him loose everywhere. And it's an inexact science. There's no set science, at least as far as I do it, but you do a projection driven approach to this typically. And those manifest in your weekly pitcher rankings, which are a great compliment to this podcast.
They manifest. Wow. Clay's using big words. He hit the thesaurus over the dictionary over the off season.
Yeah, I'm really trying to make myself sound smart by using the big words. But yeah, it's a pretty straightforward 0 to 5 again. And yeah, let's get into the two-star pitchers for the week of April 3rd, 2023, the first full week of the baseball season. And Ryan Nelson is our number one player to talk about with two-star pitchers. Made the Diamondbacks opening day rotation. Mentioned Dre Jameson moved to the bullpen and Brandon Pfaadt down to the minors. So it's Ryan Nelson at San Diego versus the Dodgers. Ugh, you know, I'm already stumped here.
Well,
it's
I'm not.
Not a great. Well, looking at the numbers last year, I guess it's probably a zero.
Right. If there were, if this was Pittsburgh and can I say Cincinnati without you getting mad? You know, if this were lesser teams, I think we have a discussion. Mm-hmm. Right now, even if I'm aggressive, I'm not putting myself in a hole right away by using this matchup.
And by the way, there almost certainly will be changes to the grid in the days to come. So
yeah,
check out rotowire.com/podcast if you don't have a subscription to get a trial on us. And you can follow along. Just go to lineups, and then you'll see probable pitchers. You can customize the grid to start on April 3rd. So you can follow along with us as we talk through these guys. For Atlanta, it's going to be Charlie Morton and Dylan Dodd, who made the rotation late as a replacement for Kyle Wright. Kyle Wright nursing that shoulder injury. Dylan Dodd has all of one start above the double-A level. Of course, was competing in spring training facing big league hitters, but pretty much an unknown Dylan Dodd. Charlie Morton at St. Louis versus San Diego. I'm going to give Charlie Morton, I think, a four. What say you on Morton?
Yeah, I'm going to go with four, Morton. They're not the nicest of matchups, but, you know, Morton is a good pitcher. I'm going to go for Morton. Did you give a number on Dodd? You want me to, you know, I'm probably I don't love the matchups. I don't know the pitcher. I like it. I like it more. I'm more willing to take a chance than I am on Nelson. But
yeah, me too.
But that was a zero, so that's kind of a cop out.
True.
But I mean, it's a one or a two. I guess we're at home against San Diego. I'm only going to give it a one. I mean, there are scenarios where I will use him, but I'm not like locking him. He's on my waterfall. He's not my lead pitcher for this week.
Yeah, I think that's right. I do like the command and control with Dodd. That was something that Mark Bowman of MLB.com noted, that Dodd just gets ahead 0-2 just constantly. Now, you know, maybe he could work around the zone and outside of it a little more and get more swings and misses. But I do like the command is giving him a nice, steady kind of baseline to work with as he breaks in. At St. Louis versus San Diego, I'm thinking in the main event I'm going to turn him loose, so I'll go to the two on Dodd.
You may have talked me into it, but I'll stick with the one, but you may have talked me into the two, because I'm going to have to make that decision, because ended up taking him in a few places.
You know, because I didn't, you know, draft pitching as aggressively as I should have in the main event, I was left with only three starters in this half week. Sale and Schuster and actually Tanner Houck. So how about that for three starts this weekend? Pretty risky, but I had guys like Drew Rasmussen, Wes Neske, others who were just not starting in the half week. So
I have Dodd and Tautwars and L only, and I mean there's reserves, but they're very short. I'm not going to be looking to replace him in an NL only league. We'll have to see what happens in a mixed.
That lines up with a one grade then for you. That makes perfect sense. Now for Baltimore, Kyle Bradish. Now this is a tough one for me. Kyle Bradish had that brutal 9 earned run outing in the spring, but he later mentioned that he was working through some stuff and just mechanically and was trying, I think, a different setup or something weird. Where I kind of was a little scared off on drafting Bradish because of that, but then I kind of thought that's silly to put too much stock into that when he's working on something. So, you know, he's a little risky, but at Texas versus New York, I don't like the second half of the two-step, but I think I'll give Bradish a three because I think he's a step up from Dylan Dodd.
Yeah, a guy's going to get 6, maybe 7 two-start opportunities over the course of a season. You wish he had a better setup, but you know, I wish we knew more about him. All right. Yeah. So the Texas one, I mean, Texas has got a good offense. I'm not yet scared of them. They are going to have some really productive games. They lit up Aaron Nola. But the Yankees lineup is not quite as threatening as it may have been. Still awful darn good, but at home, and it's still not that warm. I'm with you on a three. And maybe it's just because Bradish kind of became one of our, you know, part of the Tut Wars head-to-head auction. He just became kind of a funny guy that to talk about because we had so many radishes left over. We're making jokes about Bradish. And
if you draft Bradish, you have to eat a radish. Yeah, thankfully, I took Bradish in that league, and thankfully I wasn't forced to.
Yeah, see that's kind of humor, folks. The last draft of Tut Wars weekend, that's what you're stuck with. But, yeah, I'm going to go with a three. And look, there's a couple of Baltimore pitchers that I kind of have to, like, get rid of preconceived notions about, A, them, and, B, pitching in Baltimore kind of in general. Just because everybody they brought up over the past 5 years has been terrible. Or terrible is I don't do a very good Doug Dennis impression. Oh, it's horrible. Horrible. Terrible's Charles Barkley, right?
Yeah, terrible.
So yeah, the combination of Doug and Charles. Anyway,
that'd be a hell of a tag team.
Yeah, enough on Kyle Bradish.
Well, yeah, I just
he will be. I mean, I will have him. I will if he's probably drafted, but if he's not, maybe in the 12 he'll be available. I will have him above Dodd and Nelson, who we've talked about so far.
I don't know who coined the phrase, but I heard Jeff Erickson of RotoWire calling it Waltimore now. So I kind of like that. Ooh, it's okay. Since those park changes last year, it has it is Waltimore. It's really playing a lot more pitcher friendly. So yeah, I think I'll roll the dice on Bradish next week. But as a three, that shows that I wouldn't turn them loose everywhere. 12 teams, it's very much borderline. Yeah. For your Red Sox, Todd, they're going to have Cutter Crawford, but then Nick Pivetta is the guy who lines up for two. So it'd be versus Pitt at Detroit. Doesn't get much better than that. And I don't like Nick Pivetta's skills, but the matchups make me willing to not completely write him off this weekend in Fab. Maybe I'll have a contingency bid on him. I think I'm only going to give him a one, though.
I'm going to go four. I mean,
oh, wow.
Those matchups? That's ridiculous. Nick Pivetta. He's not a bad pitcher. He's not great. I think he's a three pitcher. He goes deep into ball games, which in a lot of places matter. I drafted him in an online championship last night or yesterday morning, actually. I think it was the last one. Sometimes they sneak in, like it sells out, so they sneak in another one. So I'm not in it. It's not like the Cure Kiss that has like 15 different final concerts ever. I'm pretty sure it was the last draft of the year in the online championship. It wasn't by design. It's just, hey, I finally have some free time. And I have a free draft in my ticket because I won it in the DFS contest. Hey, let's draft it. I drafted Pivetta to use him. And, if you're not going to play against Pittsburgh and Detroit, when the heck are you going to use a guy?
Well, you know, I think you've talked me into a two, but I'll write you down as a four.
All the way up to a two. It is Nick Pivetta.
Still a pretty good gap between our grades, though, there. And he did have a 6.11 ERA in the spring.
I'm not worried about that.
But Pivetta also 21 Ks in 17 and two-thirds innings this spring. So the Ks were there in exhibition play. So, yeah, I guess I was a little too low. I don't like the pitcher much, but versus Pitt at Detroit is great. So
he didn't strike
four is a little too high for me.
All right. Well, okay, good. Well, I mean, I think he's a three pitcher in these matchups, bring him to a four.
Yeah, you may be right. Agree to disagree on Pivetta for this week. And I'm excited to see Hayden Wesneski for the Cubs. He's not the two-star pitcher for the Cubs, though. That'd be Drew Smyly. Wesneski would be up for two next week, or the week following next week. But Drew Smyly at Cincinnati versus Texas. Great American Small Park is scary, and I just never know what the wind's going to be doing in Wrigley. So I'm going to give Smyly a one, I think.
I'm going higher. I think it's because I have a higher.
You're more aggressive, generally.
I am, and I think more of Drew Smyly, I think. Going against Connor Overton and then John Gray. I don't know that I'm going three, but I'm going to go two. I think it may have to do with just the baseline of the pitcher being liking him a bit. But that's a two. I would not – if I have Smyly, I'm starting him, and he's definitely on my list if I need pitching.
See, I think I'd rather go with the devil I don't know and Dodd than the devil I know and Smiley. And but you, with your grades, seem to be the opposite. You'd rather have Smiley going.
I'm still of the mind that Smiley pitches pretty well between injuries.
Maybe yeah, he actually last year was not so bad.
Maybe I need to refresh because, you know, I tend to think a lot of things in my I've thought so many things over the years that they're all into that part of my brain where that doesn't remember things as well. But no, I still think he pit, you know, last year, yeah, 3.47, 1.19 ERA, 91 strikeouts you don't love in 106 innings. But I still think he's a pretty decent pitcher baseline worth. I mean, probably a little luck in there with those low strikeouts. Need to check the swinging strike and see what was going on there. But, you know, 4.23 FIP, I don't – that's not my favorite of the estimators. But, yeah, it's half a run higher.
Fair enough. Well, we've had some kind of tough guys to grade. Here are a couple easy ones. Connor Overton and Luis Sessa. Goose eggs for those two, right?
Okay. I refreshed as soon as I got on. Do we still have both of those guys two starts?
Let me double check.
I've only got
Overton. I'm sorry, just Overton. Just Overton.
Yeah. Which doesn't change the grades.
No.
I just want to make sure that we're
yeah, I appreciate updated. That.
And our crew, you know, it could change if news comes out, and this is around when it's going to come out. You know, we'll change it up to the minute. So
yeah, it's constantly changing.
Yeah, you know, Jeff was making all the kind of Overton puns over the course of the offseason. Not starting him. Even, you know, there are worse matchups than Cubs and Phillies, but yeah, not starting him.
And it looks like, and we actually have him confirmed. So it looks like Zach Plesac will start the year in that rotation. So they've had a few injuries there, Tristan McKenzie being the big one, and Plesac will get another opportunity. It looked like maybe the sun had set maybe on Plesac as a starter, but he'll get another chance here. 5.50 ERA in the spring, 17 Ks against 6 walks, only one homer allowed. But I mean, the low Ks I just can't stomach. So I'm gonna go 0. I mean, he had a couple flashes and made a name for himself briefly, but I think all the shine has worn off.
Remember, I mean, he was a Twitter darling. I mean, there were some people were just really pro Plesac, and not taking a victory lap here, but I was not one of them. And I'm not saying I was validated, but I mean, he's had some injuries along the way. Anytime one of your two starts is against Oakland, I think it's automatically higher than a 0. Seattle's tough, but it's at home. So I'm going to go with a 1 for Plesac, but it's more about, you know, I'm managing your team, not mine, because I'm not having Plesac anywhere near it.
So you give him a 1, but you wouldn't go anywhere near it.
Yeah, because I'm not going to have to worry about it.
All right, well, that's your approach. I won't argue with it.
No,
I'm sorry.
I just don't have him on a team, that's all.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll go 0. Ryan Feltner at the Dodgers. He'll be opposite Michael Grove, and then versus Washington at home. So 0 on Ryan Feltner.
Don't have to take too much down. At the Dodgers and then home in Colorado. You know, I'm not even starting Marquez in that scenario. Well, maybe. But, yeah, no, forget it.
Michael, 0. Yeah, Michael Kopech for the Chicago White Sox. And I've heard good things about Kopech and just where he's at mentally and, you know, how he was preparing for the start of the season. And didn't end up with him, even with some positive reports out of spring. And he struggled, got knocked around a bit in the spring. And 9 walks in 12 and two-thirds innings. I may go – all right, let me double-check the matchups. Versus San Francisco at Pitt. Pretty nice. I don't think I can go higher than like a 3, though.
Yeah, if I went 3 to 4 because of Pivetta, you know, going out, I got Kopech as like a 2 pitcher, so I can go with 3 pretty handily. Would very much like, out of everybody we've talked about, he's got to be the number 1 on my list so far.
Yeah, same here. All right, so Boyd boys can rejoice a little bit. He is going to be the number 4 starter, so that would be Monday at Houston. Then next and Sunday versus Boston. That's not great for a lefty. Yeesh. I was a Boyd boy very briefly, but I haven't been in years. So, man, this is probably like a one, just given the matchups. Like, for me, he's probably like a two pitcher. Yeah. The matchups bring him down to a one.
Right. I might even go as low as zero.
Yeah.
I looked at the early schedule for the Tigers and it, cause I'm interested in a couple of their pitchers, not just Boyd. And it's terrible. It's hard. And it's not going to get much better because they're a terrible team, so everybody's better. But Boyd's a guy that I would probably not use this week or this coming week, but I would see, you know, maybe he gets dropped because of the, you know, people don't want to hold on to him. He is someone I would reinvestigate, come back to in a week as a potential pickup.
Well, we'll pause briefly and bring you a quick word from our sponsor, Vivid Seats. Baseball is back. Swing into the MLB season with Vivid Seats and score tickets to all of the hottest matchups and biggest games of the year. Every crack of the bat, every deep center field fly, and every heart-pounding double play from your favorite team live and in person. Plus, with Vivid Seats rewards, now you can earn rewards with every single purchase. Each ticket you buy gets you closer to your reward. Just buy 10 tickets, then simply cash in your credit toward your 11th ticket purchase. It's that easy. Pro reward tip, buy tickets for your whole group, split the bill, and make progress towards your free 11th ticket even faster. From behind the plate to the upper deck, Vivid Seats has great tickets for all of the 2023 games that matter to you. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. All right. We appreciate their sponsorship. Getting back to the two-star pitchers for next week, the week of April 3rd, 2023. Hunter Brown came down with some back issues late in spring training, but has been cleared to take the ball as the fourth starter for Houston. So it will be Hunter Brown on Monday versus Detroit, then at Minnesota. I don't know if he's going to be available for a full workload, but not many pitchers are. We saw, you know, a lot of guys pulled around the 70 range in the 70s in terms of pitch count. So that's kind of what I'm expecting for Hunter Brown. Even then, limited workload with these matchups versus Detroit at Minnesota. Minnesota's no cakewalk, but versus Detroit's so great. I was thinking four, but I think I'm going to go conservative. Just say three because he's coming off the injury.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned a cakewalk. The other hand, we looked at Minnesota's lineup. It didn't look that great. So I think what it might be is there's just not a lot of power in the lineup. Mm-hmm. It's got some peskier guys, hotter outs down below. I'm with you on a three. And this is working kind of blind on Hunter Brown himself. I don't know a whole lot about other than number scouting on Brown, but again, at Detroit is kind of an automatic, I'll start him and hope he doesn't get blown up in the second start kind of deal.
You know how Tyler McGill gets called baby goat sometimes with his similar mechanics to DeGrom. Well, Brown's gotten some baby Verlander comps, so no pressure, but no, he's, you know, he's not going to pitch to that level, but he is expected to shoulder a heavy workload in that rotation this year and looked really good in relief. We'll see if he can carry that to the starting rotation. For Kansas City, Brady Singer, Chris Bubich. I think I took Singer in the stake league. I think that's Brad Keller, so even worse. But actually, Keller may be useful, and that's a 16-team league. Anyway, Singer and Bubich, both versus Toronto at San Francisco. I'm going to let you start on these two.
All right. I think Singer's a pretty good pitcher, and I like the pitching coach. I like what they're doing. He's a four pitcher for me, and one matchup balances the other, so I'm going to leave him a four. I'm going to be crossing my fingers against Toronto. At least it's in Kansas City. Bubich had a really strong spring and kind of inserted into the rotation. Here I'm more concerned about Toronto because he hasn't been established, but I'm probably going to. And I'm probably a little higher on Kansas City than I should be, a leap of faith. that Brian Sweeney, the pitching coach, was going to help them out coming from Cleveland. So it's more, I'm going to go with them both. Not loving the Toronto start, clearly, because they could be the best off. I think they're the best hitting team in the league. And people say one of. I think they're the best hitting team in the league.
Toronto, and, yeah, me too.
Yeah, and then I'm not at all concerned about San Francisco. So 4-2.
You're right that Bubic did pitch pretty well in the spring, but only 10 and a third innings. So he made 5 appearances, 3 starts. Only 10 and a third innings. Did have 15 Ks, so pretty nice spring for Bubic. I'm only going to go 1, though, just given the lack of a workload or limited workload in the spring. I got you down for 2, though.
Yep.
In Springer, I'm going to go with one mark lower than you. I got a 3 on Brady Singer. But, yeah, it definitely could be spots where you turn to Brady Singer. Now, for the Angels, Reed Detmers, he got a lot of helium late in draft season. A lot of people have a lot of expectations for Reed Detmers, and tentatively lines up at Seattle versus Toronto. So I think I have my first 5 of the season, even though that one is versus Toronto.
Can we go? I just want to make a Uncle Ted in the chat. He loves righties against Toronto. You don't love anybody against. I don't care that Toronto's all right-handed. They're all really good hitters.
Yeah.
Oh, you love putting a righty against Vlad and against Bichette. So the whole lefty-righty thing, Toronto can just plain hit. So maybe on a DFS night when you're looking to be contrarian, you start a right-hander against Toronto. But, you know, they don't care who's throwing. Anyway.
That's a good point. Real quick, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was just going to say real quick, I was thinking I'd have my first 5 pitcher with Detmers, but the Toronto matchup bumps him down to a 4. Right.
Now, I had a feeling you're going to be higher on Detmers because this is one of those things where it's the eye test versus the projection, you know, what happens. I mean, Detmers is on the rise. He's got a couple new pitches. He's throwing faster, right? Was he a driveline guy, or am I thinking of somebody else? I don't think he was.
I think Detmers' velocity is way up. So I think
right.
Maybe
there was
right.
Someone who was up. I don't remember it was Detmers or the other one I'm trying to think of. And I know they went to driveline. We could look it up. But yes. So it's one of those things where his improvement is not captured by the projection system. Right. You have to just kind of just trust and, you know, factor that in. So I had a feeling you'd be higher. You're a 4. I'm a 3. I do kind of need to see it. That was just weird. Remember, he had a no-hitter.
Yeah.
Then he went – he was terrible. He got sent down, and he was like a better pitcher when he came up again than when he threw the no-hitter. That just kind of says, you know, my lack of excitement around no-hitters is, you know. But anyway, I'm going to go 3 and be willing to be wrong because maybe he is indeed better than what the projection – an algorithmic projection system is going to say.
We had a note, and actually I know James Anderson wrote this note on Detmers, that his average velocity on his slider was at 90.3 miles per hour last week.
Sweeper or slider?
The note says slider, but I don't really know.
I think one of the least – a lot of rule changes, right, Major League Baseball? The one that doesn't get talked about is announcers have to say sweeper 5 times a game.
That is the trendy new buzzword in baseball, it's for true. Sure. But yeah, so Detmer's slider was at 85.8 last year. So that's a huge bump, like almost 5 ticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And yeah, if this velocity jump carries forward, he could be a, you know, real breakout candidate, Reed Detmers. Yeah, I saw that his velocity was up early, but it's just good to see that he's been able to maintain that increased velocity across the board on all of his pitches. I know people are pretty darn excited about Reed Detmers. We'll see how he fares in his first starts of the season. Tentatively a 2-step. We'll see if that comes to fruition. And Michael Grove, who we talked about briefly at the very top of the show, he will be pitching in a couple of favorable matchups versus Colorado at Arizona. We were building to this. What's your grade on Michael Grove in this 2-step, Todd?
I'm upset because I've got Pepiot everywhere because I wanted to use him at this point.
Me too.
All right, my
too.
Grade is three. Yes, you know, sir. You're so high on him. How can you only a three? Well, I mean, it's still Michael Grove. So I'm going to go three. But he's right now leading my bids for who I'm picking up this week.
I got him as a 3-2. So, yeah, I'm going to be having him on a fair number of fab lists. We'll see if I get him, but, yeah, I'd rather have him than a guy like Dodd and some of these others that we've talked about.
For sure.
I'd rather start a guy like Hunter Brown, who I also had as a three, but, I'd give the edge to Hunter Brown there. And, yeah, you'll have to make the call on if you want to start Grove, but I think with the matchups, he's pretty darn appealing. Johnny Cueto, Johnny C, one of my all-time favorites, now with Miami, of course, versus Minnesota at the Mets. So, you know, you like that venue for the second half of the two-step, but Johnny Cueto, I just can't trust, as much as I love the guy, can't trust him on my fantasy team right now. So, versus Min at the Mets, I may actually go zero. In my heart, he's a five, but for fantasy, I'm going to give Johnny Cueto zero this week.
I am too. I think I want to see what he's like this year. He could be a one or two later in the year. Right now, he's a zero. And I just want to cycle back. Detmers was a driveline guy.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, just confirmed it. Detmers was a driveline guy.
Yeah, thanks for confirming. And that's – he went to driveline. That's the new saying. And it's paying off for some of these arms. Freddie Peralta, the Brewers will be versus the Mets at home, and then versus St. Louis, a couple home starts for Freddie. Felt to me, at least just doing some late drafts, felt like Freddie was falling quite a bit, and he has had trouble staying on the field in that rotation. Maybe some bullpen risk here if he has another injury, but versus the Mets, versus St. Louis, I think I'll go three on Freddie.
Yeah, I think he's a four pitcher, but these are tough matchups. And you do lose some home field edge in the great American Family Field. So
I'm with you. For the Twins, it's going to be Tyler Mahle. Before we get into our grades for Mahle, just wondering, did you end up drafting Tyler Mahle on any teams?
I believe he was an underdog guy for me.
Yeah, I could see that.
I probably have him. I was in on him. You know, I was all off season long. I'm saying, I haven't done many drafts yet. I kind of crammed my drafts in the last week or two, but I did a lot of drafts the past couple of weeks. Still not as many as normal. I didn't do any cut lines, which I'm bummed about, and I don't have as many draft and holds as normal, which is kind of a bummer. But maybe not. Maybe I found my sweet spot. Who knows? But Mahle is a guy that he gets the strikeouts, and he's kind of like, if you can keep the ball in the yard, there's another level there. And the ball's a little bit dead. Maybe I like it. Target field keeps the ball in the yard. So I do like him more than most. Until we ranked him yet, I forget. At Miami, Houston's a tough one. He's getting a three from me, even with that Houston start, which probably says a little bit there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give him a three. Mahle was a guy who was just so hurt by Great American Small Park when he was there.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought when he got out, he would really shine. But then the shoulder was still lingering after the trade to Minnesota last year. So I don't think we've really seen Mahle at his best with Minnesota. I do hate that Houston matchup, but we talked about Johnny Cueto. He'll be on the opposite side of Cueto in that Monday game. So I'm with you. I'm going to go three on Mahle.
And isn't this the time to pitch to Houston?
True.
Brantley out, Altuve out. I think this is the time where if you're going to draw Houston on your schedule, I mean, it's not going to be easy, right? Alvarez hit the home run yesterday, which is, you know, helping the Astros get up to a good start. But if you're facing Houston, it might as well be with Altuve and Brantley out.
I'm with you there, 100%. Now, Carlos Carrasco's one of my underdog guys late, although I kind of went to more upside guys toward the end of draft season like Wesneski and Clark Schmidt and those types. But I do like Carrasco just as a guy. Got 15 wins last year. He's a steady Eddie pitcher, win healthy. Got to bake in some missed time. But at Milwaukee versus Miami, and he'll get Cueto in that second one. Yeah, I like Carrasco. 4 off the bat, off the tongue, sounds a little high, but a rock solid 3 along, like, on the same level as Malley for me.
I'm considering saying 5.
Wow.
But I'm not going to, because I don't think he's that good a pitcher. I think he's very good. So I think I'm going to go for, I just love the matchups. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stick with a 4. This All is right. the week, you know, underdog. This is the week you need to do well, because in order, he's probably got your 4th or 5th or 6th starter. You need him to jump up over those studs, and he does it in 2 start weeks.
Matt Leahy just asked an interesting question in the chat. Actually, 2 guys I drafted on some underdog teams. But if you had to pick one between Clark Schmidt and David Peterson, which 2 of those New York arms would you rather have? That's a tough one for me.
This to me is a short versus long-term thing, because I would lean towards Schmidt longer term because I think he's probably going to be in the rotation. But, I mean, Peterson striking guys out now, Citi Field. That's a tough one.
I think I'd lean Peterson, but Schmidt's at Baltimore next week. And
that's what I'm saying, pretty short, long-term close. Thing.
It's a coin flip for me, honestly.
That is so close to a coin flip. And no, you're wrong, Ted. We'll get to there soon.
I mean, it is really a coin flip, but I thought I'd run it by you.
Because the thing with Peterson is his strike, he's no longer the soft tossing lefty. I mean, his strikeout was like 26%. I mean, it was really good last year.
Yeah, I think I like Peterson by a hair, but all right. I like Schmidt a lot too.
Yeah, let's get off the 50-50 ledge. I'm agree. Peterson so close, but if you miss out on one and get the other, I'm not losing any sleep.
All right. So we graded Carlos Carrasco. I got a 3. Todd's got a 4. Now nasty Nestor Cortez versus Philadelphia at Baltimore. He had that really rough spring debut when he was coming off the injury. Then he righted the ship really quickly, so not too worried about Nestor. Don't know how stretched out he is, but probably just like with everybody else, 75 to 85 maybe a little more, but versus Philly at Baltimore, I think I'll put him with Malley and Carrasco because of the spring injury. So I think I'll go with a 3.
Yeah, no,
I could see the case for a 4 though. Especially because you probably drafted him as a 4.
I think you're starting him. I mean, we're just we're ranking as to what we expect, and you kind of alluded to it. Is he gonna pitch enough to get the win? Is kind of where I'm coming. And Philadelphia's got a good offense, notwithstanding. Well, no, they hit Texas pretty well yesterday. They just couldn't keep. They couldn't suppress the Texas offense. So, Baltimore's not that bad. I'm going to stick with a 3, but it's not going to be long before Cortez is back in the 4 range.
Totally. I'm with you. Just for now, I'd say 3, but you said you drafted him as a 4. You're probably just turning him loose, not really thinking about it, but maybe expectations kept in check for now as he continues building up. For Oakland, it would be James Caprillion tentatively for 2. So Caprillion broke in and actually pitched really well initially. And I think he got hurt last year, right? And just wasn't himself after that. Versus Cleveland at Tampa Bay. He's a guy I need to just see. I'm going to go 0.
And he's a pitch-to-contact guy, and these are 2 teams that just make contact.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be a long day. He could give up 8 runs without giving up a homer in these games. You know, that's the kind of way it goes.
Could get Babbitt to death.
You know, I mean, the first game's at home, exactly. The first game's at home at Tampa. No, I'm gonna go 0, but there will be a week where Caprillion gets above a 0 from me. It's just not this week.
BABIP death by 1,000 cuts. That could be coming Caprillion's way. Taiwan Walker. Now, his velocity was down in spring, but it may have been intentional because it seemed like he was kind of tweaking his pitch mix and kind of tweaking how he does things with the goal of reaching 180 innings, which seems high for Walker, but... You know, he seems really intent on that goal. It's at the Yankees versus Cincinnati. Love the second one. First one makes me a little nervous, of course. But I took Taiwan in the main, so I got to give him at least a one. I expect I'll be turning him loose just to kind of make up for the lack of starting options I had this half week. I'll go a two. He could be up in the 3-4 range soon, but I want to see how this new version of Walker plays.
Yeah, but isn't the second matchup a piece of cake?
It is, but
Cincinnati. Cole,
he might throw a no hitter that day.
That's true. I don't know what the weather is going to be like. I mean, it's cold now in the Northeast. I'm going to go with a three. I just think he's a pretty good pitcher, and at New York, yes, it's scary, but. It's not that they don't have injuries. They may just not be as daunting. Well, Harrison Bader. But the lineup right now, you're not scared as much as you may be in the past. You know what? You're scared of the Yankee lineup when Stanton's on one of his hot streaks. Mm-hmm. When he's not, you know, it doesn't seem quite as scary. I'm going to go with a three.
Okay, so we are one grade apart, but I got you as a three here on the sheet. We'll recap these grades when we're done here. All right. Next up for the Pirates. I saw some Yoan Oviedo mentions in the chat, but we have Ronzi Contreras for two.
I think it was just a general streamer.
Yeah. Okay.
To mention Oviedo, like Oviedo's potential, but he needs to show, and it's not even a Boston thing why I wouldn't stream him. For one start, I'm not risking Oviedo at Fenway Park.
No, me neither. But that is a good name to mention, just to keep in mind as a streaming candidate.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked to Brian Walton a little bit about him. He was a St. Louis prospect, and there's a reason why he's no longer in St. Louis. And the arm is there. He just hasn't put it together with Oviedo yet.
Yeah, I need to see it too. And Ronzi, I know people are kind of excited about Ronzi Contreras, but at Boston versus the White Sox, a couple offenses that I'm still a little iffy on as far as attacking for fantasy. Yeah, so much as I like Ronzi long term, I think I may only give him a one here. One for me.
Yeah, I'm maybe a two range as well, but I don't think he's shown enough yet. He's teased it. I don't think he's shown it yet, and we may be both been proven wrong. But I'm going to go with a one as well.
And the Padres have nobody lined up for two. It looks like maybe Ryan Weathers gets a spot start on Monday, and we actually have him confirmed, so he'll be stepping in for maybe just one start. I think finally I do have my first five of the season. George Kirby versus the Angels at Cleveland. I mean, I drafted Kirby as like an SP3, maybe even SP2 in some leagues. Love the control. He just does not shoot himself in the foot, and I think the whip will be stellar. And yeah, I don't really worry about the Angels if you can work around Trout and Ohtani. So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I have my first five grade.
For sure. I mean, to me, it's Castillo and in some people's mind, he was drafted. Well, maybe not Castillo, but I always thought Logan Gilbert was, at least right now better. Kirby may have actually leapfrogged Gilbert. I think it's pretty darn close. But I'm with you, five.
Sean Manaea, here's a decision I'll have to make in the FSGA Champions League. Took him after a pretty strong spring. What did you say?
Make the right one.
Yeah, we'll see if I'm able to. At the White Sox versus Kansas City. Love the second half of that. Not so much the first half opposite Kopech. Manaea's always burned me. I mean, I always fall for whenever he shows these flashes, and I always regret it, but I still think I'm going to go with a three here.
I thought I'd have to talk you up to a three. No, I'm going to go with a three as well. Not that it matters a whole lot, but the White Sox, the Giants have a rare Tuesday off day next week.
Oh, weird. Yeah, that is a rarity that you probably won't see later in the season. All right, so we both got a three on Manaea. What about Steven Matz?
You know why it is? I'll bet you, I'm not to interrupt, but because people go, huh? It looks like the White Sox home opener's that Monday, and they're one of those cold weather cities, so they probably want to, for the dozens and dozens of people that want to see the opener, That's not fair. Dean Peterson, a friend of ours, is a big White Sox fan. Is in a lot of the, the groups, the tour groups and that sort of thing. That anyway. All right, so
they built in a day for in case there's a weather.
That's all. All right, so we're to Woodward and Matt's now. Oh no, not Woodward.
Well, Woodward,
Woodford.
Woodford looks like we have Flaherty returning next week. Is that?
It's tentative.
It's stretched out to around 90 pitches.
It is tentative. Matt's may lose that second one, or they both may gain one. But I think the grades are Matt's is a better pitcher. So
I still think I'm only going to go with like a 2 on Matt's.
Yeah, I am as well. Atlanta's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Atlanta's really tough. I do like picking on that Milwaukee team, but the Atlanta matchup brings him down a little bit.
So they're asking about Peterson, who's already covered, so we don't forget. Peterson rocks. Peterson's someone that he's not a last resort for me at all, as is talked about in the chat. He is someone I'm looking to use today. If I do put in a short slate DFS lineup, it'll be Peterson.
Yeah, for me, He's kind of not even in the streaming mold. He's
yeah,
late in draft season. I was drafting him as like an SP5.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I'm see, it sounds like Uncle Ted's not too high on Peterson, but I am very much so.
Yeah, and Uncle Ted's just being a troll, right, Uncle Ted? Get off of the Oviedo thing. He has to prove it.
Yeah, Oviedo's got his biggest fan in our chat today.
Yeah.
I got my second five here. Drew Rasmussen at Washington versus Oakland. That's just a sexy, sexy two step. So
you like that?
Drew Rasmussen is a 5.
Can I be honest though? It kind of creeps me out when you use the word sexy.
It just kind of
creeps me out a little bit. No, I'm with you. Love Drew Rasmussen.
All right.
Tampa just has that way of turning mediocre middle relievers into crunchy starters. And Washington's a piece of cake, and Oakland doesn't get much better. He's gonna be. You could be top 5 on my rankings tonight.
Yeah, I hated having to swap Drew Rasmussen out of my lineups, but assuming he makes 2 next week, that'll make up for it in a hurry.
Oh, you meant because he didn't start this week?
Yeah, this half right. week.
Got it. Yeah, yep.
They went with what, McClanahan, Eflin, Springs.
Yep.
So Eflin on the mound this weekend. I'm excited to see what they do with Eflin.
The Rays. I was bummed because it cost him a 2-start week this week, Eflin, and he was one of the guys I was drafting specifically to get 2 starts, but not that I'm not going to use him next week against Oakland.
I just
don't get the 2. And Eflin was a...
Count your blessings.
Yeah, he was my late... I only got to do 1 or 2 late underdog drafts, and I know we're no longer doing underdog part of our podcast, but we played so many drafts, it's going to come up. He was a guy, for that 6th pitcher, I would often try to get.
Now, here's a guy who's also getting some love in the chat. John Gray was pitching pretty well initially when he came over from Colorado last year and he signed with Texas as a free agent and was pitching okay. Then he got hurt and didn't really, wasn't quite himself after that. But versus Baltimore at the Cubs, I see why he was getting some love in the chat, but... versus Baltimore at Chicago Cubs. I think I'll go 3 on John Gray because he's just not a 4 pitcher. Just as I said that I was considering going 4, but I'll go 3 on
John Gray. One of us will. And I think he ranked pretty well in my system, my projection system, and that's just driving the early rankings because we have nothing to adjust to. Baltimore could be tough, we keep saying, but it's going to be at Texas, which is a good place to pitch. I'm definitely going. You know what? He may actually come out as a 5 that I call a 4 because I just think my system just kind of really likes him. And I just have to remember that there's Josiah Gray and John Gray, and I do my little Excel trick to make sure I'm ranking the right one.
Yeah, you got to go to what, 3 letters on the first name?
Well, what I got to do is – because off our chart, it pulls them both as J. Gray. Mm-hmm. I need to put a little period next to Josiah, and I re-look up against Josiah Gray, and then at the end, it comes out right. But we don't need to know this. It's our chart's fault.
No, I didn't draft Jose Berríos in any league, but if you did, I mean,
wimp.
This is the time to use him. I mean, if you're not going to use him here, you might as well just cut him or not have drafted him. So at KC, at the Angels, a couple of pretty favorable road starts. Do you think Berríos bounces back this year?
I mean, we could, and I'm going to say did, present cases for Trevor Rogers, cases for Lucas Giolito. Berríos' case is he used to be.
Looks like he froze on us there.
Don't you want to say he's working on a slider? You know, to me, he used to be good. I want more than that. Wow. I don't remember if I drafted him. I may have taken him in a draft and hold just because, but you know, wait and see. We can't wait and see. You got to play him with these matchups. So I'm going to give him, if you have him, I think it's going to be a two. But in my mind, I'm using him because why else would I have him?
I got him as a two as well, just because last year was so disastrous and it never really got better. Like he just could not get on track.
Game stretch.
What's that?
There was like a 2 or 3 game stretch. The other guys, Giolito and Rogers, they be working on new pitches. And you know, I think there was a much more of a reason to believe they're going to bounce back. Berríos, and this is coming from someone who thought Berríos had the next level. Most people telling me, no, you're wrong. What you see is what you get. There aren't more strikeouts coming. I'm like, well, there are more strikeouts coming. Well, you know, what you see wasn't what you get. He was worse than that, at least last year.
Yeah, I mean, I was early on in his career when he was with Minnesota, I thought there was maybe another next level, but just as his time there came to an end, it just became more and more apparent that there wasn't with Berríos. So I was already kind of souring on him in his final year with Minnesota, and last year was just so bad that I didn't end up drafting him. But I'll go with a two as well because the matchups are so good. What about Yusei Kikuchi? Great spring. I'm going to have him as a one because I don't recommend it, but I could see in some case where I really need a starter, maybe rolling the dice there.
Can we call Rob Silver?
Yeah, he'd probably, I wonder what he would give. He'd probably give him a zero, honestly.
You know, I mean, to me, it's similar to Berríos, but different reasons. I get paid to do homework. I should have already done my homework. To make this decision without looking at the numbers, I need to do more research and see what Kikuchi's been doing, how he has been pitching. I'm going to say a one with the reserve the right in my own head to go to a two if I feel I need to.
I don't remember exactly what Rob Silver said on Twitter, but he said something to the effect of, you know, Kikuchi's pitched pretty well so far this spring, but today he looked like a pitcher you wouldn't want anywhere near your fantasy team. And
okay.
Until he shows it in real games that count, I'm just going to consider him a guy I don't want near my fantasy team, Kikuchi.
Okay.
But if you're really desperate, maybe you take that chance on bearded Kikuchi. He kind of pulled the Hulk Hogan. Kind of tried to give himself a new life, a new lease on life by turning a heel and growing a beard out. Finally, for Washington, Trevor Williams, Chad Kuhl, both zeros for me. And Trevor Williams, kind of a interesting case study because when he had that great year with Pittsburgh, everybody's saying, you know, he can limit hard contact. He's got that skill. And I still see that today, but I don't believe that's a skill.
It is not. You're right.
I don't believe it's a skill.
It is not a sticky skill, if you will. Mm-hmm. Or if it is, there are times when bad luck masks the skill. Mm-hmm. This goes back to the Voris McCracken BABIP thing, where, you know, Pedro Martinez's BABIP is going to be the same as, or close to the same as, like, Pedro Astacio. I think that was my line at the time. You know, I try to find two pitchers, you know, whatever it might be. You know, Justin Dunn and Justin Verlander are going to have close to the same BABIPs. That's just what it is. We've learned in time that there are reasons why a BABIP could be better or worse, ground ball versus fly ball. But in general, limiting hard contact is not as sticky as some people think it is. Now, I mix it up with Trevor Richards. Which of them had the really good changeup?
That would be Richards, I think.
Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah. Because, you know, oh, but he's got that. Yeah, so I can't even use that argument. I mean, we're talking a lot for about, and people want to just move on. And why are they talking about watching the pitchers with zero when I want to leave? But yeah, that's the thing there is they're both zeros.
Yeah, way too much contact. And that quote unquote skill that Williams had of inducing weak contact that evaporated in a hurry. So not really a skill at all, in my opinion.
The better way for me to put that is it hasn't been proven to be a skill yet. And we're getting closer with some of the Statcast data, et cetera. But I think it's not as much of a skill as some people think it is. Even if you do it for 3 years in a row, that still could be three lucky years in a row. This is my dumbass analogy that I'll bring out once in a while. But if, you know, five people flip a coin or 32 people flip a coin, five of them are going to get heads all five times. That's not lucky. That's within the realm of possibility. Now, four people got heads all five times. Well, that's some luck. One out of 32 is, you know, so you could get three lucky years in a row. And when there's so many players in Major League Baseball, probability says that's going to happen. So a lot of these, a lot of these guys, they beat the peripherals until they don't. And it's just because probability says that some are keep going to do it just on pure, you know, luck, if you will. So anyway,
maybe the face of that, you know, argument or situation, Kyle Hendricks. Like a guy who was good at inducing weak contact until he wasn't anymore. And like Zach Plesac, who we talked about earlier.
Right. But
these guys have a hard time performing at that level for extended period.
I want to leave it open to maybe there's something that we haven't yet discovered that can measure this. With Hendricks, it could have been the tunneling.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so there could be something that isn't yet mainstream that can explain some of these luck dependent type numbers that we just haven't learned that they are or are not yet. So
yeah, that's a good point. We're going to, as much as we think we know now, in 10 years, we're going to know so much more about ways to quantify the game and measure skills.
Hope I'm here to see it.
Same, man. Could always be my last, but hopefully not. All right, let's recap our two-star pitcher grades for the week of April 3rd, 2023, the first full week of the Major League Baseball season. Ryan Nelson, 0. Charlie Morton, 4. Dylan Dodd, I say 2, but Todd, 1. Kyle Bradish, a 3. Nick Pivetta, I say 2. Todd all the way up at 4 on Nick Pivetta. Drew Smyly, I say 1. Todd, 2. Connor Overton's a 0. Zach Plesac, I got a 0. Todd, 1. Ryan Feltner, 0. Michael Kopech, 3. Matthew Boyd, 1. Hunter Brown, 3. Brady Singer, I say 3. Todd, 4. Chris Bubich, I say 1. Todd, 2. Reed Detmers, I say 4. Todd, 3. Michael Grove, 3. Johnny Cueto, 0. Freddy Peralta, 3. Tyler Malley, 3. Carlos Carrasco, I say 3. Todd, 4. Nestor Cortez, 3. James Caprillion, 0. Taijuan Walker, I say 2, Todd 3. Ronzi Contreras, 1. George Kirby, 5. Sean Manaea, 3. Steven Matz, 2. Drew Rasmussen, 5. John Gray, I say 3, Todd 4. Jose Berríos, 2. Yusei Kikuchi, 1. Trevor Williams, 0. Chad Kuhl, 0. Well, our first two-star pod is in the books, Todd. Anything else on your mind today before we sign off?
Looking forward to talk to you again tomorrow.
On SiriusXM Fantasy.
SiriusXM, but now just thinking about this and like some of these performances, good, bad, ugly, or our fantasy teams, baseball's back. No, don't get so caught up in Aaron Nola screwing your first day that baseball's back, folks. So let's enjoy that. If I haven't said it already, baseball's back. So, and,
celebrate.
Don't let Jacob DeGrom's rough outing ruin your weekend, you know?
Yeah, or the Verlander news. It's a long weekend.
Well, that can. No, I'm just kidding. But
well, that probably will for a lot of people, but it shouldn't. It should.
Nah, so, yeah, it's just one day. Nola's ERA is going to be fine. DeGrom's ERA is going to be fine. Anyway, so
that's what's
on my mind. I was just thinking, man, can't get so wrapped up in the, you know, in this minutia that I don't enjoy. You know, I didn't go through the 6 months of what I went through to not enjoy the games. So anyway.
Well, tomorrow on XM, I'll be sure to talk about how sexy the players' skills are, since I know you love that. And I look forward to chatting, man. Thanks for taking the time, Todd. And thank you all for stopping through and hanging with us. We are sponsored by Vivid Seats here on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast.